Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
First up, if you love fried chicken and Cheetos, we have a dream sandwich for you. Feast your eyes on this one. Ooh. KFC is testing out their latest creation, the Cheetos sandwich. The fast food chain says the sandwich will give you a blast of craveable Cheetos in every bite. The sandwich is available for limited time in select locations in North Carolina, Virginia, and Georgia.
I mean, I'm not going to say no to it, but that's not a looker there.
I can't say that's my jam, but I can understand the idea. You know when you put like French fries or chips on your sandwich because you get the crunchy? You guys don't do that?
No.
That's a thing.
I don't do that.
I'm not a big fan of Cheetos because of the Cheeto dust. I have an issue with
the
dust.
That's kind of true, and it gets like caked in your teeth.
Yeah.
The cows. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of racism. The cows' 10-year anniversary yoga retreat is in Virginia. Next week, 10 days, we will be in Virginia, weather permitting. Snowpocalypse is still happening here in Seattle, but, you know, we'll see. Hopefully by next week, things will be back to normal. But next week in Virginia, the aforementioned Cheetos chicken sandwich, available for a limited time only at KFC, is only available in a few locations, and one of them happens to be the good old Richmond, VA. That did cross my mind when we were picking locations and airports. Can you imagine what a concoction? I mean, wow. All of it. We couldn't just have the Cheetos alone. That's not enough poison. We got to put that on a KFC sandwich and all together. If anyone listening to this broadcast has had that concoction, you can dial in. I'm real sure that has got to have a few of the major no-nos on our guest for the program today. She lists several ingredients that we should never ingest. I know that's got to have at least some hydrogenated oil in it. It's got to. It's been a while since I've had Cheetos, but I'm certain one of them has got to have some hydrogenated oil in there somewhere. Anyway, we have talked for many years, and I think folks have submitted that some of Mr. Fuller, you heard him at the beginning, one of the areas of people activity that he should include is health, because that has huge ramifications for black people, our health being impacted in so many ways. In fact, Dr. Kamau Kamban, he has said repeatedly that one of the major ways, if not the major way, that racism, white supremacy impacts black people, particularly in this part of the world, is by what we have on our plate, because that plays such a crucial role in our health and or lack thereof. I myself can be the first one to put a hand up and say, oh, yeah, that was me. Not quite this time last year, but a little bit before, roughly 270, 275, extremely overweight eating. I don't know if I would have got a KFC Cheetos sandwich, but I definitely would have had some nonsense and plenty of it and no exercise, not taking care of myself at all, which is very common. And the flood, the yoga, it's been a year. Yoga is still rolling. Yoga after the class today and the yoga certification, which led to the yoga retreat next week. But in all of that, Satya X, former guest on the program, she said one thing that should be emphasized. Yoga is very much also about what you put in your body, not just doing all kinds of cool poses in class. It's about really having a lot of respect for your body in the mat, on the mat, off the mat. And as I said, what you put in your body and advocating a vegan lifestyle. Really, she talks about that. She's vegan. And she said, you should emphasize that you're not just a yogi, you're also a vegan. And that is, you know, crucially important, especially for Black people. And it was really at the same time being beginning yoga last year, switching, returning to a vegan diet. It's been a year, feel great, have lost all the weight. Doing a plant-based yoga retreat. We're not just doing yoga, but no meat products as well. In all of that, I've been doing more research and trying to get more information to share. I saw the documentary film, What the Health? And they talk directly about some of the exact things that I've said, how racism, what we have to eat, go together frequently when we are talking about this subject matter. But one of the participants in that documentary, which you can check out, Netflix, I think YouTube, quite a few spots, our guest for today's program, she talked about how switching to a plant-based diet really helped her to detoxify and to recapture her health. She was able to avoid some of that medical apartheid type of... Coon man in Virginia. He was in med school. But she was able to switch to a plant-based diet and avoid some of the horrors of having to get an operation and all of that. I thought it would be great to have her on the program to discuss more about her transition and as a holistic nutritionist to get great information to help sway, hopefully, some of our listeners to be more mindful about what we put in our mouth. And to really think of food as being a life-giving source for healing and replenishing. That's the way we're going to be thinking about it at the retreat. So glad to have her on the program with us live. Super informed, talented, wonderful Dr. Ruby Lathan. Dr. Lathan, you're with us, ma'am?
I am. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much for sharing a bit of your time and energy with us. As I said, really excited to have you on the broadcast. In fact, before we go any further, your grandmother, what's your grandmother's name, if I may ask?
Annie Ruth Palmore? Palmore, uh-huh.
Palmore. We will dedicate the program to her memory because I thought that was so important when you shared about just the impact. So many, and I can speak to that myself, knowing family members who have had all kinds of health problems, and so many of them, it could be unnecessary health problems if we just had, oh, better diet, ate a little bit better, put that KFC Cheetos chicken sandwich down and ate a little better, we would be in a
better... I agree. I thank you for that, dedicating it to her. I appreciate that. And when I heard that promo about the sandwich, I was wondering if I called into the wrong show at first. But then I got you tonight. So I was like, wait a minute.
This is what we're grappling against. They got advertising for the KFC Cheetos chicken sandwich. They generally don't advertise for vegan, you know, food, or at least I don't see those advertisements. I have seen the promos for the KFC Cheetos chicken sandwich. So there is a battle going on for the plates. As I was saying, what anything that you would like to share with our listeners briefly? I guess we'll go into more detail, but just anything briefly you would like to share about who you are and the work you do?
Sure. I am, as you mentioned, holistic nutritionist and health coach. And so I like to help people heal naturally, you know, starting with food and also taking the holistic approach. As you mentioned also about yoga, it's not just, you know, poses. It's the same thing with nutrition. It's not just the food. It's food is the foundation, but there's a lot more to overall health and healing, and that involves, you know, our spiritual health, our, you know, exercise, our healthy relationships, healthy ways that we, you know, deal with anger and stress, and all of those things all are factors that have to be considered. So I'm a holistic health coach, so I help people look at all of those factors as well, so that we're looking at total health and not being imbalanced in any area, you know, of our lives. And so it just makes for a healthier, happier person. And so we want to be healthy so that we can live a happy life. And so that's all included in the way that I coach people so that they can reach their goals. So I'm excited to be able to work in this area and just, you know, show people that there's a lot of power that we have on our plates. There's a lot of power we have within ourselves, and we just have to take charge and use that power and not be beholden to systems that are, in many cases, just designed to take advantage of us.
Absolutely. Medical Apartheid. Have you read that book by Harriet A. Washington?
I haven't, but I think I should. We'll check that out. Sounds. I think I've heard about it. I haven't read that, but it sounds about right.
Top five.
From the statistics that I am aware of the health outcomes for African-Americans in hospitals and emergency situations, that just like a lot of things in this country, that we come out on the bottom end of that, and we get much different health care treatment and a lot of higher death rates for similar illnesses just based on skin color. So that's why it's even more important that we take charge of our health and not rely on a broken, you know, sick care system, which is what it really is. I mean, even other people of other races aren't getting well in the sick care system. So, you know, our chances are even less when the healthcare is even more lopsided when it comes to us, with, you know, the higher rates of death when giving birth, and higher rates of death for heart attacks, and higher rates of death for pretty much everything because we get poor healthcare. So my goal is to have people prevent the need for sick care and use true health care, starting with our plates. And we use modern medicine for diagnostics, and then we take care of ourselves. And that's really the way that I see it. And I see that hospitals are great for acute illnesses and accidents. And, you know, if I'm in a car accident, take me to the hospital immediately. Absolutely. But for other things in these quote unquote chronic illnesses, most of which can be prevented, we need to be handling it ourselves. And we need to be going back to nature and using the herbs and the supplements and the food of our natural history to heal ourselves and to prevent needing the healing in the first place, but really as maintenance. And when we do that, we're going to turn these health statistics around. So I'm part of that process. And I like being able to wake people up that there's something you can do, and we don't just have to keep hearing these negative statistics about African-Americans over and over and over, because, you know, that doesn't apply to me, because I know that my health is in my own hands. So rather than just repeating that, let's do something about it, and let's be radical about it and not make these baby steps as they try to have us do, which keep us sick. So there's a lot to be done, but the good part about it, the good news, is that a lot of people are receptive now to plant-based diets and things like that, because they're sick of being sick, and they see that their medications are multiplying and they're not getting better. So unfortunately, it's like we're at the breaking point where people are finally realizing that you know, the health system isn't working. So they're looking for something else. And so this is a prime opportunity for people like me who are ready and willing to help people find the path, their own path to health.
Absolutely. Context of white supremacy. I always like, for this sort of subject matter, let's put people on the spot. Let's not just talk about it. Let's see it in action. So what have you eaten today, Dr. Lathan?
Okay. Well, I started with a green smoothie with kale and bananas and berries and a green powder that had chlorella and spirulina and some other things, and hemp seeds and some ginger. So I had a pretty big smoothie. I just had as a snack an apple. And then, let's see, earlier I had a almond butter English muffin, a whole gluten-free English muffin with almond butter and a salad. So so I was kind of busy today, so I haven't eaten, I hadn't really eaten, quote, dinner yet, but that's pretty, and I snacked on lots of strawberries, too. That's one of my favorite fruits, snacks. So I always keep those on hand, especially frozen, so I can have them anytime. So that was today, and lots of water and a little kombucha.
Wow. Pretty good. Pretty good. Always like to check in. I, if Cheetos or anything like that had popped in, I would have been stunned. But okay, I had a smoothie myself this morning with similar ingredients, it sounds like. That's my after yoga recharge. And just for our listeners, one, I would encourage you to check out What the Health. It has great information about health. And about racism, gets talked about repeatedly in that documentary. It would be hard not to. But in addition, as you share in the documentary, you did not start out to say, oh, yeah, I want to be, you know, a holistic nutritionist. That's what I want to do. You started out as an engineer and were working and came to this from your own personal experience, just trying to recover your own health. Can you just share a bit of that with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was working as an engineer at a national laboratory. My degrees are in engineering, my PhD and master's in engineering and computer science. And so I was pretty much, this is the route I had planned to take. When you kind of go in that deep, that's pretty much your career at that point. So, you know, it was a satisfying career. I wasn't loving it, but it was paying lots of bills, and you know, I was financially happy with it. But when I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, everything changed. You know, I just decided that I was going to look at natural remedies because I had just heard of other people being healed naturally from cancer, and I thought, you know, well, if they can do it, why can't I? So I'm going to figure it out. And so I just started researching for myself, starting online and then consulting with people and naturopathic doctors and folks in that arena to figure out what to do. And eventually came up with my own nutrition plan and definitely found a lot of research on plant-based diets and how they heal the body. So that's what I switched to, whole food, plant-based diet, got rid of the processed food and dairy and animal products altogether, and got rid of the processed sugar and things like Cheetos. I wasn't eating a lot of that anyway, but those were, I would eat an occasional Dorito and that kind of thing. So I got rid of all of that kind of stuff and really started eating fresh food. And so that was the change for me. And so after about a year of changing my diet and figuring this thing out, because I gave myself that time to heal, because you just don't know how long it's going to take, even though I was initially impatient and thought it should be done and healed within, you know, 2 to 3 months, it took longer. And that was because I had to learn the holistic approach. And that was, it wasn't just about the food. It was about stress, and it was about healthy work relationships and things like that that I had to remedy, and then learn how to get in touch with myself through meditation and visualization to heal my body with my mind, and just start living life on my terms, and just pretty much changed everything. And I decided to quit my job because it was stressing me out, because I was an entrepreneur engineer at that point. I had left the lab to start an engineering firm with some partners. But as you know, with entrepreneurship, you pretty much are doing everything. So working around the clock, and it wasn't quite an equitable agreement. So I quit. And I just took the time to study and heal. And so about 14 months from the day I was diagnosed, I was retested. And all the tests came back that the tumor was benign on all the other nodules as well. So I had successfully reversed it as well as shrunk the thyroid in the process, because it was a large, you know, called goiter when it's a little enlarged. And so I was able to do that over that course of the year, and it was an amazing transformation. So by the end of that 14-month period, I really wasn't the same person, and I didn't really want to go back to doing the engineering that I was doing. And I just really opened my mind to figuring out what was going to be my bliss, my happiness, what I would do for free, and really follow that, because I knew what I was doing wasn't it. And so once I was healed, I had shared this information with everyone I knew, and so they wanted me to share it with them, and then things just grew from there, and a new career was born. And I decided I needed to help people and let people know that there's an amazing thing happening here, that you can reverse cancer by changing what you eat. That was pretty amazing to me. And I'm like, everyone should know this. Everyone should know this. Everyone should know that you can reverse things like diabetes in a matter of weeks or month or two. Everyone should know this. And that's why in the movie, when I mentioned that, when they're like, you know, why do you do this? Because once I learned all this information, I was just stunned that this isn't common knowledge, and that especially those who are plagued by these illnesses the most need to know this information. So I remember, you know, all of the illness that my grandmother went through, from being independent and living out in the country on her own to having to live with people and just seeing her health decline. And I know I saw her make some, you know, dietary changes, but they weren't enough to make a difference. And I was just thinking, you know, if I had just known what I knew, and that was, you know, and you can't go back, but it just hit me so hard, because the few months, you know, before she passed, I was thinking about having her come out and stay with me, and then move to this new place, and, you know, out in Albuquerque. And I was like, this will be a good environment, and I'm sure we can figure out how to improve her health. And then it, you know, it's too late. So I'm like, well, you know, I can't go back, but I can help somebody else. I can help other people in her honor. I can do that. And I know that's what she would want. So that's how I got here. And so I got a certification in holistic nutrition, and now that I'm dedicated to empowering people to take charge of their own lives.
Context of white supremacy. Visit the website Ruby Lathan. It's RubyLathon.com. RubyLathan.com. Lots more information, recipes. You can book her as a client, or to come and speak and help share more information to get folks to consider putting the chicken down. Put those Cheetos down. If you got them together, put it all down. Kale, beets, vegetables, fruits. You will feel much better. You will live long, and you will have a better quality of life while you are on the planet. I want to make sure I ask about, you talk about reducing transit time, because that's something that comes up in yoga all the time, and is super related. Mm-hmm. But as a black female who grew up in Alabama, I feel like on this platform, there's no way that I can, I mean, Alabama, Birmingham, Bombingham, as they called it, home of former Attorney General Jeff Sessions. How could we have you here and not ask at least one question? Can you give us one anecdote from your childhood that was like, oh, wow, this is racism?
Okay. Well, actually, grew up in Montgomery and then Huntsville, Alabama. So, you know, it's just interesting. I think I was kind of sheltered from a lot of it until graduate school, because I went to all black private schools, and like a church school was run, you know, and so it didn't really have a lot of interaction. And same with college, it was a, you know, HBCU. So I really was very sheltered and didn't have a lot of interaction with anything other than black people, which was great in a way, because I saw successful black people all around. At my the academy I went to was on a college campus, and so we were used to seeing doctor this and doctor that and people running things. So it really gave me a sense of self purpose and just a foundation of knowing I can do whatever I want. So that was the blessing in that. So when I got to graduate school at the University of Alabama, that's when I encountered the other side, because that's when, you know, I had made contact. So especially during my PhD, you know, program. I know when we were first moved to Montgomery, though, we moved to, I think we were the first blacks in our neighborhood, because I didn't see any other black kids at all. And my parents wouldn't let us answer the phone because we were getting some of those unwelcome phone calls by people just randomly, you know, making threats and things like that. Even though we had, you know, friends in the neighborhood, we were told, you know, just don't answer, let the adults answer. So again, we were insulated. So my parents knew what was going on, but they kept us, you know, tried to keep us sheltered from that. So that was there, you know, especially being the first ones in a pretty much upscale neighborhood. But in college and graduate school is when, you know, things really started to show themselves, and I had to really dig into my roots to get through it. I had some professors who would just purposely grade my test scores lower than my peers, even on multiple choice answers. They would mark my grade wrong when it was right. And I'm like, how can you even try this? And it's multiple choice. So it's clear that you're purposely marking me down. Or we'd have written essay pieces, and I would almost write very similar to what my counterparts would write, and I would get, you know, 10 or 5 less points. And so that happened, and with quite, you know, especially with one or two of the professors. And I remember I was in a class that was required. You have to take this class to get through the PhD program. And I went to the professor because he kept marking my, you know, paid papers down. And I was like, I went to the office hours. And so I go to the office hours. And so I'm walking up to the door, and I hear him laughing with other students and just yucking it up. And as soon as I, quote, darkened the door, the energy changed. It was like death had entered the door. The laugh stopped. I got the stare of death. The other student left. And so I'm asking, you know, for help, because apparently I'm not giving you the answer you want. And he would not help me. He was supposed to help with problems on the wall. And he was like, you know, maybe you should just drop the class. I was like, well, you know, it's a required class to get through the program. I can't really drop the class. You know, it's not an option. So he's basically saying, I want to be your roadblock to getting a PhD. And so that was one, it was the only C I ever got in my entire career in my PhD, because you have to get basically B or better to get out. And so I just accepted it, because there was nothing I could do. Everything I, you know, tried with him was, I was like, so I basically switched minors so I wouldn't have this professor anymore. But I ran into things like that over and over. I had one professor where we were able to team up on our work. And so you would team with another class member, and you would both do the assignment and both put your names on it. And whatever the score was, you both got the same score. But you turned into assignments, both with your names on it. So on my paper, I get back, it's fine for you to work with your other, with other classmates, but you have to write up your own results. And I was like, and my counterpart that I'd worked with, he didn't write anything on hers. Mind you, I'm the one who did the written part of it. So I was like, so you assumed that I didn't do the work and she wrote it up for both of us. And so things like that just happened, and I just powered through it, and I joined the Black Student Union and got with the Black professor there to help me navigate some of the stuff that kept coming up, because I was like, there's no way that I'm not getting a PhD because of your foolishness and your racism. It's just not going to happen. And so I had to power through it. I had to dig deep. I often left angry, but you know, it was like, it's okay. It made me stronger. I would get grilled so much with any time I did an oral exam or presented work. I would get grilled like it was a combat. And so, whereas my other counterparts, it was a pleasant exchange. And so what the result of that came out is that I was so good at defending research and covering all my bases, I was pretty much better than anybody else. My public speaking was better than anyone else, because I knew that when I walked into the room, I needed to have every dot, you know, hit every T cross, because they were looking for something. And so, you know, many days I would see an image of George Wallace trying to block the doors of the University of Alabama, and I would see myself kicking that image down. And I said, so you picked the wrong one if you think you're going to kick me out of this program. And so I made it through, and, you know, I was stronger. I came out stronger and better, you know, and I often thought what was meant for, you know, evil turned out for my good. So I'm an excellent public speaker now. I can defend pretty much anything because I know how to find the holes before I even present it, because that's what I had to do just to get through.
Wow. And that, my friends, is a quality graduate education at the University of Alabama. Wow. Incredible anecdotes from Dr. She said as she darkened the door, the laughter stopped. I think we talk about racist jokes. This is our 10-year anniversary. That is one subject we have been talking about for 10 years. Racist. We have had so many white people on and asked them, particularly the white people that are from areas like Alabama, South Carolina, Georgia, mm-hmm. really anywhere, but especially the Southern. But can you tell us a racist joke? Oh, man. We've had white people on who have said, oh, I've heard thousands, some of them thousands and thousands of racist jokes. Can you tell us one? Oh, Gus, my goodness. I couldn't bear repeating, or, oh, my good, I just don't remember. Every time, almost. Even the whites who said that they've heard thousands of these jokes, they refuse to share one. I say that right there tells me a lot when it go. And I can, even if everyone, if you all can think of the governor in Virginia, because it's medical school now, so think Coon Man. She's coming in to get a, answer a question, and they're sitting there. Did you see the Curtis blow? And then he did the sorry. That, I mean, that's about what I would think could have been happening. I could be totally wrong, but this is Alabama, and we do hear a lot of white people confess to. In fact, NPR, what did they say about racist jokes? They said they were, and this is from last year, they said racist jokes were as popular on Google searches, and it wasn't just racist jokes, it was nigger jokes. They were as popular as The Economist and the Lakers on Google search. Not just a small bit, but a huge population of folks. That's what they do. But so back to reducing transit time. What is transit time, and why is that important?
So transit time is the time it takes from when you eat something to the time to when you eliminate the waste of that. And so that is really important, because a lot of people are you know, holding a lot of stuff so that they shouldn't be. And so the goal is to get that down to about 24 hours or less. 24 to 36 hours is the kind of the area you want to be in. So what you ate this morning should be coming out tomorrow morning. And you should be going as many times a day as you eat a day, because that's how it works. There's always waste from any food that you're going to eat. There's that insoluble fiber that's going to come out, or waste product from that food. And so a lot of people aren't going every day, or they're not going, you know, twice a day or three times a day. You know, because some are going every other day or every couple of days, which means you are holding a lot of waste in your system, which is not, it's not designed to be in there that long. And so what happens is that waste product begins to seep some of that back into the bloodstream and causes inflammation and a lot of other illnesses and disease when that happens, because you're basically a putrid waste sitting there that should have been out a day or two ago that's not out. And so that, causes sluggishness, it causes irritability, it causes acne, it causes arthritis, it causes joint pain, it causes all kinds of bowel disorders, you know, from IBS on up to a lot of different things, that all because we're holding too much waste. And so the way that you increase or decrease rather that transit time is through eating more fiber rich food. And so, you know, all plant foods have fiber, whereas dairy and meat have none, and processed food has very little in it at all. So you have to eat more plants to get more fiber, period. You don't have to take powders and all that, you know, Metamucil and all that kind of stuff to have fiber. Fiber is in strawberries, okay? So eat a bowl of strawberries, you're going to get fiber. You know, it's like it's in everything that is plant-derived. So eating more fiber, but you also have to drink enough water to help move things along too. So you have to drink, you know, the recommended amount is about half the body weight in ounces of water a day. So whatever you weigh divided by two, that's how many ounces of water you want to drink. And then you want to move. You have to move. So it's like fiber, water, and movement. So that's the formula for decreasing the transit time. And so, you know, exercising, jogging, yoga, especially yoga, those are awesome things to get the body moving. So if you're not going as often as you should be, which should be at least once a day, that's like the minimum. If you're not going once a day, you are full of crap, and you need to do something about that. And to get it out, you might want to start with a colon cleanse. And then, you know, in addition to increasing your fiber and water and things like that, and moving. So it's really a way to avoid a lot of diseases and inflammation in the system.
Spectacular information. That is so important. I can say personally, that is one of the biggest changes in terms of, it's been a little over a year since I've been back on a vegan diet and doing yoga the entire time. I have much more frequent bowel movements than I did before. And I just wasn't eating a lot of fiber, and I wasn't moving. It was both. I was the double whammy. I was not exercising, and I was eating really bad food. And so I think a lot of Black people are in that position, and that leads to, and in fact, I was so appreciative when you mentioned that one of the problems of having all of this waste, these toxins in your body when you have the long transit time, arthritis. We had a listener who wrote in and she said, hey, is yoga good for arthritis? And I said, I think so. Let me double check. I'll check in with my instructor. And she said, absolutely. But what are you eating? And I chuckled, and she said, that has a huge impact on arthritis. I mean, yeah, yoga would help if you do it every day. But I mean, if you're going to turn around and eat a bunch of nonsense, then, you know, you might not as well waste our time doing the yoga. How does what you eat impact arthritis?
Quite a bit. So when we look at arthritis as really a overly inflammatory response with your joints. And so foods that cause inflammation are going to be the top, are going to be dairy, because dairy, cheese and milk, it's not food for humans. It's just not. And so we have to change our thinking from traditional to what makes sense. You know, milk is for baby cows. Adult cows don't even drink milk. It is for baby cows, period, to grow very fast. So it has a lot of protein, it has a lot of sugar, and it has a lot of stuff that baby cows need. It doesn't have what humans need. So it causes inflammation in our system. It also causes mucus in our system. And it also leaches calcium from the bones because it digests acidic. Even though milk is a base and you would think it's not acidic on the outside, it's not. But when you ingest it, it relieves an acidic waste in our system. And so the body then goes through a lot of work to get our system alkaline. And so it takes minerals and things like calcium that will neutralize acid from the blood. And then over time, if there's not enough in the blood, it takes it from the bones. And that's where we end up with not just arthritis, but osteoporosis and lots of bone fractures and bone weakness because of the over-ingestion of dairy products, period. So it causes inflammation, which leads to arthritis, and it weakens the bones at the same time. So the biggest thing we want to take out of the diet is milk and cheese. And that was milk was not a big deal for me because I was like, you can use almond milk, soy milk, rice milk, cashew milk, coconut milk, hemp seed milk, pumpkin seed milk. There are like 100 substitutions for milk, really. And you can't tell me, well, I don't like one. I mean, there are like at least 20 on the shelf. Find one that you like, you know, from sweetened to flavored. So it was, for most people, it's the cheese. They're like, what am I going to do? Because that gives you tend to be addicted to the cheese because it's concentrated milk. And so you've got to find some really good alternatives, and they're getting better at it with the ones in the store. They are, making some from cashews, which you can make your own at home and things like that. But you've got to just change your way of thinking and find the alternatives to this, because dairy is not meant for humans, which is why it wreaks so much havoc on the body with our hormones and other things. And it also is linked to things like prostate cancer and reproductive cancers. So we want to leave that off the plate, off our menu plan, you know, altogether. Obviously, meat is very acidic also. So especially processed meat, like sausages and hot dogs and things like that, that are highly processed, those are going to cause lots of inflammation. And then processed white sugar is going to cause a lot of inflammation too. So which leads to arthritis. So when you get those things out and replace them with good stuff, lots of, you know, fresh food, arthritis is going to go away. And then you combine it with movement, then it should be a thing of the past.
Cow's 10-year anniversary yoga retreat, plant-based food, yoga every day. I wanted to ask about protein because I hear that so frequently. But I also, just with the cheese, you were saying that people are addicted to it. And so I was telling some other folks that, like, the transition, if you really like cheese, and I was someone who really liked cheese, I suspect you might not like some of the non-dairy cheese alternatives, at least not at first, because it's not quite the same. It doesn't melt quite the same and that sort of thing, even though they do have some brands that are getting much better at that. But I mean, if you have just been eating cheese for the past, you know, years, 20 years or what have you, and today you go and get an almond cheese of some sort, I suspect you're going to notice a substantial difference. And I bring that up because there's so many chemicals. Cheetos. I am not a doctor. I don't have a background in biology, so I am not even competent enough to know what is in a Cheeto. Or a KFC sandwich, by the way. But I do know that they have a lot of non-food chemicals in them to enhance the flavor and taste and even to kind of get you addicted to these substances. And I think when you stop eating that, your taste buds change substantially when you've been kind of just overdriven with those substances and chemicals. And then you just go back to get an apple or pineapple that doesn't have all of that. Can you just talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I know Cheetos has MSG and food coloring and a bunch of other stuff that is on the list of things never to eat. So we don't want to eat the artificial food coloring. That's why it's so yellow or orange, rather. And then it definitely has MSG and lots of cheese in there. So that's a definite no-no. But your taste buds do change. In about 3 weeks to a month of eating healthy, your taste buds start craving the healthy things that you give it. And so that's really one of the things that I noticed, that once you stop eating the cheese altogether, as opposed to just cutting back on cheese, then you lose the taste for it. And then you develop different taste buds. And then if you go back to eating garbage food, your body becomes sensitive to it. If I eat something accidentally that's junk, I get a headache. Whereas that was something I used to be able to eat with not feeling it. You know, if I have something with the high fructose corn syrup or something like that, I get a headache pretty soon thereafter. So I know that I just ate something that was junk, because my body is not accustomed to that anymore, because I eat really good organic food, fresh food, real food. And so, you know, your body starts alerting you once you clean it out that this is garbage. But once you, if you're putting garbage in it every day, your sensitivity just shuts down, because what's the point? We're still getting this garbage every day, so it doesn't even have the bandwidth to alert you that this is junk anymore. So I would say, you know, cut it out, because I tried I'm just going to cut back, but you still have a lot of craving for it. It wasn't until you just stop it all together for at least 3 weeks to 30 days, and then you notice you break the addiction. And then you start having a taste for healthy stuff, and it really does happen. So that's the good news, that the body will adapt to whatever you give it. You may still have cravings for, you know, some of your favorite high-fat foods and things like that. And a lot of times that's linked emotionally to the way that we use food to celebrate, to comfort ourselves, to, you know, our society is centered around using food as comfort and celebration. So we get emotionally attached to food, sometimes more so than actual physical attachment. So this is why changing the mindset about what food really is important, because I had to go down a list of why I'm not eating cheese when I'm at like a sandwich shop. I'm like, I really want the cheese, but why am I not doing the cheese again? I don't have to do that now, but in the beginning, I would go down the list. I was like, oh, right, because it causes inflammation, because it's not for humans, because there's a bunch of hormones in it, because it's, you know, all these things that I would go down the list, and there's a lot of pus in it, and there's this, and there's that, and the cows aren't healthy. And it made me change my mind about food. So I had to reprogram my brain to understand that cheese and milk was not food for humans. And then now it's not a temptation.
That worked really well for my friend, Puss. I mean, she watched What the Health and Big Impact. She switched, switched her diet. Again, visit the website, RubyLathan.com. She has recipes and what have you. I'm looking forward to trying the forbidden sesame rice pilaf. I love forbidden rice. Mm-hmm. I have that. I'm going to check that one out. It sounds great. Mm-hmm. If folks have questions they would like to ask, 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I also wanted to ask, I am spoiled. I'm here in Seattle, even in the middle of snowpocalypse. It has snowed and snowed and snowed for the past, I think, 5 or 6 days. It's legendary. It never snows in Seattle. Even with all of that, I have still been able to get vegan chocolate chip cookies with walnuts, vegan ginger ice cream with no soy. Let's see, what other goodies have I had? Even in the middle of the snowstorm, you can be really spoiled. Like, there's a vegan bakery like 2 blocks from my house that has vegan ice cream, vegan pies, cookies, like you name it, all kinds of vegan tiramisu, vegan red velvet cake that is amazing. Just can you talk about, because I think it's important, you can be vegan and be very unhealthy and just eat vegan chocolate chip cookies, and they got vegan potato chips and, you know, all of that. They will probably have vegan Cheetos soon. You can be vegan and still be very unhealthy, yes?
That is true. And, yeah, I noticed that. I mean, so the good thing and the bad thing about the vegan movement moving forward and becoming mainstream is that you do have more options. That's the good news. So it's easier to find things like cheese that you can substitute and make your own lasagna with pretty easily. But the bad news is that there's a lot of just garbage food that is being made vegan to meet the demand, and so that people are thinking they're eating healthy and they're not just because it's vegan. So just because it's vegan doesn't mean it's healthy. That's number one, because I tend to stay away from the sweets and all of that. And I usually, if I want ice cream, I'm going to do my own banana ice cream because it's just fruit and it tastes really good. I used to love that Snickerdoodle vegan cashew ice cream. I just don't have it anymore. I might have one spoonful at somebody's house or something because it's just a lot of sugar. So we have to look at it as this is an occasional thing to help meet a craving, but it's not an everyday food. It's still, you know, processed. So there are healthy sweets that you can make yourself. And they do have some in the store, usually in the refrigerated section, that are made with dates or maple syrup, the sweeteners, that kind of thing. You want to look for natural sweeteners and not the white, you know, processed sugar and cane sugar. So you can definitely find some healthier options. But when it's highly processed and you can't understand what the ingredients are on these vegan items, then you're kind of going toward the junk food vegan arena, which isn't the healthiest. It's, you know, I would say it's still better than eating, you know, meat products, but we're looking for a whole food plant-based diet, which means foods closest to their natural form as possible. So some of the burgers that are available are great for splurging, that kind of thing, but it's not an everyday food. You know, you want to make like bean burgers and things that are made from real food that I found in the store, like made from black beans and plantain burgers. They don't taste like meat, but, you know, they'll fit the bill. And then, like I said, for those occasional cravings, you can go toward maybe occasionally some of the processed stuff because it keeps you away from falling off the wagon, but we want to go with whole foods and not process. So if my understanding is like correct, Oreos are vegan and Twizzlers are vegan and a lot of things that I would never eat because they have food coloring, they have high fructose corn syrup, they've got just junk, and that's just not where you want to be on that side. You still want to have a healthy, low inflammatory alkaline diet full of fresh food.
The cows see some of the folks who dialed in with a hand up. Red in Nevada, I think she saw the film, What the Health. Did you have questions for Dr. Lathan?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Hello, Dr. Lathan. Thank you so much Hi. For coming on and sharing your information. I know I've gone through that same type of cycle that you have. I actually recently ate some peanut butter cereal that I used to eat before, and it didn't technically have dairy in it, and it still, all the chemicals made my stomach upset. I've been over a year non-dairy. But the question that I've had, which is something that I've experienced more regularly since I'm basically making my way to vegan, I'm more plant-based right at this moment, is when I go to like the healthier food stores. I live in Nevada, so I'm not as spoiled as, you know, as Gus mentioned, like we don't have like vegan bakeries and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. I have to go to Whole Foods a lot to get some of my vegan foods that I like to eat mm-hmm. and have to experience just the racism there, like having my money checked a lot or not really being helped. Is that something that you had experienced when you were transitioning or even like, you know, now that you are a vegan?
That's a good question. Well, I live in DC, so I think they're used to black people around here. So I haven't really felt that as much. I did when I was going through my healing process, I was out in New Mexico, Albuquerque, and I don't know that there's nothing overt like that I experienced. Other people mentioned it, you know, to me. They'd had, you know, different experiences, and, you know, things happen all of the time. So, you know, it just depends. I think, you know, what people have gotten, you know, used to seeing. But I know that it is an issue, and we're trying to, you know, veganism is not a light thing. And, you know, especially in where I live here, that most of the vegan restaurants are Black owned anyway. And we kind of started the vegan movement in the DC area. And so the best ones and the ones that have been here the longest are all Black owned, and there are a few new ones popping up, but we started it. So it's our thing. And, you know, we like to make that known. So I can't say I've really experienced that, you know, recently, but I know others who have, and, you know, we bring it to the attention of management as much as possible. So it's unfortunate we still have to deal with that kind of silliness at this point in the history of this country, but it's definitely still there.
All right. Thank you for allowing me to ask my question. I'll meet my line.
Sure. Thank you.
Much obliged, Red. Caller at 9029. 9029. Did you have a question?
Yes, sir. May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Greetings, callers, listeners. Thank you. Appreciate your time, taking time out to be on the show. I had a question in regards to transitioning foods. I have a few questions, but that's one of the main ones I wanted to ask you. Could you suggest any transitioning foods, or do you have any on your website that we should possibly look at?
So transitioning meaning switching from like a meat-based diet to plant-based diet?
Correct.
Okay. Well, it depends on, you know, how ready you are to jump into things. So I kind of look at, you know, the plant-based spectrum as good, better, best. So, I don't usually recommend a lot of, processed meats or things like that to people. Usually my menu plans that I put together are all natural foods, but some that are okay, I find tempeh, which is fermented soy, to work well for digestion and things like that, can be used in place of ground beef. You just have to have a really good recipe to make sure it's seasoned mm-hmm. well. But, you know, you don't really have to have transition foods. But if you're someone who's been on a heavy processed diet and don't really cook, you know, there are some foods that are less processed than others, like the Tofurky brand is a little less processed than some of the other brands yes. of food out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I've seen that as well. I wanted to ask you something as far as something you mentioned earlier in regards to healthy work relationships. Because mm-hmm. we have I'm pretty sure you're familiar, we have a workplace racism mm-hmm. that we have on Fridays here. And I'm you know, that's something that constantly we're trying to work on, and I'm trying to see in what in regards do you mean to when you said healthy work relationships, like
sure.
in your environment. Yeah.
Right. And so we do have to recognize that a lot of African-American people bear a lot more stress than everybody else because of encountering racism and things like that. So, and then we have the crazy bosses who are over demanding and things like that. So most of the people I work with, I do coaching with, when we talk about what are your major sources of stress, most of it is work related. And so, and this long-term chronic stress is causing people to get sick. And so this is why it's something that has to be dealt with. So if it's, coworkers, you know, you're setting your boundaries, if it's your boss setting, you know, reasonable expectations, you know, taking away the fear of, you know, losing your job and kind of taking back the power. Because I, even with, you know, I talked about using visualization as for healing, like I would visualize my body healing, but you can also use that to manage day-to-day situations and looking at positive outcomes, meditation and visualization for what you want to happen and not focusing on the negative of what is happening, but creating your own scenario, how you want things to work. So I've been able to coach people through dealing with negative bosses or, you know, coworkers, by just the way that you change your attitude, because you can't really change people, but you can change your mindset and your expectations. So I think I avoid a lot of issues, negative issues and racism, because I go in thinking I am entitled to what it is I want. I am, you know, so I don't even see it because I'm not looking for it. And so when you change your mindset, you can change outcomes, even of people that you don't even know that you're thinking about them. So there are levels to it. So it's about really, you know, I would say first establishing boundaries. In some cases, it's finding a new position at your company or something like that. You know, setting boundaries on how much work you're doing, that kind of thing, because people are being overworked and not compensated for it. So we do have to manage the healthy, create healthy relationships at work, do something about it one way or the other. You know, you're going to either change the dynamics or change the job.
Right, right. Gus, I have two more quick questions and I'll be done real quick. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
One is as far as loved ones, when you're in relationships and you're trying to help another person make the transition with you, I'm currently in a relationship with a non-white female, and I'm trying to help her, but I don't want to be overbearing. I'm trying to be very relaxed in some sense and just do my thing and hopefully, you know, here and there say things, but I'm trying to avoid the, you know, the conversation on a kind of confrontational level. Do you have any kind of advice in regards to that? Because I'm still working on it, like I said.
Sure. Yeah, I do, because that's a big thing. So usually, if the person's not really ready to come along, I usually say leave them alone and just do you and let them see the positive benefits that's happening for you, and then they naturally come along. Because anytime you start being demanding or policing other people's food, you're going to get a negative outcome, because now it feels like they're just going to be rebelling against you and not the actual food. So,
right.
So it's important not to force this on anyone. They will come to it on their own. So, you know, usually I'm like, if you're sharing a household and you're cooking, you just cook what you want and they can eat it or not. As I say, as long as it tastes good, people are going to eat it. So make sure you're making good tasting food. I'm like, if I'm in charge of the food, this is what's going down. I'm not even announcing to you that we're making these changes.
All right.
Because a lot of times the announcement is what causes the, you know, the rebellion. So,
right.
But, you know, just letting people be, because people go to dinner with me who aren't vegan and they'll order meat or whatever. And they're like, I hope you're going to be offended. I'm like, no, I'm not the food police. You do you. Mm. I'm not going to sit here and lecture you while we're eating. That is the exact wrong time to talk about food, is while you're eating. So
right. That's
not a good time to confront it. And so eating is a personal thing. So I'm like, the best thing you can do is just let them see the positive benefits that are happening for you and just make good food that you share with them. And they generally come on their own.
Gotcha. And thank you for that. And the last question I have is, I'm actually headed to Maryland this weekend. And would you have any suggestions as far as specific restaurants or anything I should check out that might be vegan-based that would be good?
Sure. Are you in the Baltimore area or where?
Well, I'll be heading to Bowie and D.C.
Okay. There are a couple of definitely places along that route. There's one that's Great Sage is really nice, kind of
upper scale restaurant that's all vegan but really healthy food called Great Sage. I think it's in Clarksville toward Baltimore, kind of going into D.C. There's the Grub Factory that's Black-owned vegan. There's the Land of Kush, which is Black-owned vegan.
Hold on one second. I'm writing it while you're speaking, dude. Mm-hmm. What was the Land of Kush?
Yeah, Land of Kush. Yeah. All and right. There was the Grub Factory, Land of Kush, and Red Emma's is another one that has a lot of good vegan food that I like there. And then into D.C., there's a raw food bar. It's called Hemp Burger now. Used to be called Kepra's Raw Food Bar. Black-owned, all-vegan raw food, so it's really healthy. I really feel good eating there because it's nothing is processed, no processed sugar, no fried. It's all raw. It's good stuff.
Nice.
Called Hemp Burger. And then right next door is another vegan restaurant called Farewell. A little more processed, and it's a bakery. But they have some good stuff there, too. But I would go with the Hemp Burger first.
Well, I thank you greatly. Greatly appreciate your time and energy. I jotted everything down, and I'll definitely I'll probably send you a link, email or something, let you know how one of the places were that I went to. Thank you again for your time and energy, and appreciate
you're
you
welcome.
Coming on the show.
All you're right. welcome. Peace. And I will also add, there's a new app called the Healthy Dining app that was put together by a Black female entrepreneur, Ebony McCormick, and I'm going to feature that in my next newsletter. So it lets you know all the vegan and vegetarian friendly places near you if you just put in where you are. So it's called the Healthy Dining app. So whether you're on Android or iPhone, you just put that in the store, in the app store, and you can download it.
Doing it as we speak. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. We had another caller with a question, but just that sounded so familiar in terms of not food policing and put that pork chop down. You're going to eat, not doing that sort of thing. Like, I have heard that before with regards to sharing views on racism, like not going and fussing at people to shout them down. Like, you wait until they say, hey, you're someone who studies racism. Tell me about this here, or tell me at least your views. Help me understand. That is the best time to explain it, especially for diet. You don't have to do a whole lot of shouting about anything. If you had cancer and your diet cured it, people will be coming to you to seek out information. You don't have to do a whole lot of shouting about anything. You can
And I found that to be the most effective. I've rarely seen a negative interaction about food yield a positive result. So it's like, it doesn't work. So why would we even go that route? Yeah.
Following the logic. Imhan DC, did you have a question for Dr. Lathan?
Yes, sir. My question, I was wondering about if you had any suggestions as to plants to grow or foods to grow. And the reason I ask is because, eventually I don't want to go to the store to get my food. But then my brother's grown food before, but it was the food, I got tired of it, and a lot of it went bad. It was like just lettuce and stuff. So did you have a suggestion, maybe something that that you can eat and be full on?
Sure. So it just depends on how much space you have, because you can definitely mix it up. I mean, if you're going to grow greens, I would go toward kale and collards. And then, if you can find somebody else nearby who's growing something different too, that would be good. And that way you can mix it up. But you want to grow things you like to eat. So cucumbers, tomatoes, those kind of things that you're going to want to eat a lot of. So you're going to want to eat greens. I like to grow the herbs as well, like parsley, basil, that you should be using a lot of, cilantro, that's in a lot of my recipes. Those are really good to buy, to grow your own herbs for sure, so you can skip that piece. But it depends on what you like to eat. You know, you don't want to grow a lot of squash if you don't really like squash that much, you know, because, you know, you don't want to eat that every day kind of thing. So it just depends on how much space you have and grow smaller, you know, use smaller areas to grow more variety of things. I don't have any land or space here, so I usually just do a herb planter or something like that with herbs in it that I can grow, like peppermint, things like that. So I would say, you know, mix it up as much as possible. And if you're somewhere where other people are growing things, you could even collaborate so that you're switching off and you're growing this and they're growing that. You can trade off too with other people, because it does usually yield more than one person can eat. And then, of course, you can freeze some of that and use it later too. So I would definitely go with the hearty collards, greens, and then things that you would naturally put in a salad and use often, onions, those kind of things that you would use a lot, you know, on a regular basis.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Much obliged, Imhan DC. One of the questions as a holistic nutritionist, Dr. Lathan, that I've heard when people have said, when I've told people that I'm vegan, is where you, and particularly when they see me as a black male closer to 200 pounds, like I weighed 200 pounds when I was 14 years old and over 6 feet tall. So like, where do you get your protein? You've got to get your protein. You can't just eat, you know, carrots all day to get your protein. What is your response when people speak to you about protein? And when you work with clients, have you ever worked with anyone who was protein deficient?
No, I haven't worked with anybody who's protein deficient. I have worked with people who need a little more protein than the average person, because their body metabolizes it faster, or they're doing lots of strenuous working out. So we increase the protein, for those folks. But so I always start with all fruits and vegetables have protein. That's number one. Number two, we need a lot less protein than we think we need, about 50 grams for men and 45 for women a day is really around the optimal amount. And we're usually getting three times that. So we don't need as much as we think. Then where we're getting the higher concentration of proteins, it's going to be in the beans, nuts, seeds, and whole grains. So you can also do raw protein powders. There's non-raw protein powders, but I prefer raw because it's just a healthier protein powder, less processed. If you need to bump it up, so you can add those to smoothies and shakes and things like that. But generally, you know, there's nut butters, there's things that you can really do if you need to increase the protein. But if you're eating well-rounded, like oatmeal, you know, berries and things for breakfast, and you can put some hemp seeds, flax seeds in there that has protein, you know, like 3 tablespoons of hemp seeds or flax seeds going to have like 9 grams of protein in it. So you add that to like a steel cut oatmeal, which is already going to have at least 5 grams of, you know, protein in there. So it adds up throughout the day. And then if you eat something with beans, black beans, you know, navy beans, any kind of beans, you're going to get quite a bit of protein from there. You know, 10 to 20 grams of protein in if you're eating like a well-rounded salad with beans in it. So it adds up, and by the end of the day, you have all the protein that you need. So most people, like I said, are getting too much, so it's really not that difficult to get it in. But if you need to bump it up, there are a lot of ways to do that with the nuts and seeds and beans. So right now, most people are getting too much, so it's not an issue. And very, very, very few people have a protein deficiency. It's very rare. Usually, protein deficiency comes when you're just not eating enough calories overall. So, and that doesn't tend to be the problem in the U.S. of A.
We got chicken Cheetos sandwich. What are you talking about? Lack of calories. Like, I have had also a major complaint. Well, I don't is it? I guess it would be a complaint with people. They just have a really poor relationship with vegetables. And I used to be one of those people myself. I love Brussels sprouts. Like you talked about vegetables you could eat every day. I could eat Brussels sprouts every day, like gleefully. And I do eat them, like, I don't know about every day, but I eat them frequently, multiple times a week. And I hated them as a child. And I started thinking about, like, what is the difference? What is my relationship to Brussels sprouts? How has that changed? And I said, one major difference, as a child, I always had frozen Brussels sprouts. Now, I never have frozen Brussels sprouts. They're always fresh, organic. That is a massive change with anything. And then I started thinking, okay, well, how am I having the Brussels sprouts prepared? I think, as a child, I think I only had them steamed. Now I've had them like air fried, roasted, like, oh, they are amazing in salad. I've had them shredded in salads, like all kinds of different ways. I love them. Like they are just, can you just touch on, because I think so many people just have a really poor relationship with vegetables from like a child and just have no concept of associating vegetables with enjoyment.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, and usually what turns people off is like when you go to a restaurant and they don't really have any vegan options, and then they just bring you a plate of steamed vegetables with no seasoning. And so then the meat eaters are looking at you like, there's no way I could do that. They're like, I can't eat like that. And I'm like, neither can I. This is not what I eat. This is not how I eat. This is unseasoned foolishness here. It's oversteamed and there's no... So it's like my biggest pet peeve is unseasoned or overcooked food, vegetables in particular. So, yes, when I switch to fresh, especially organic vegetables, it tastes much, much different. So that's number one. Number two, got to find some recipes. I was like, we need to, you know, treat the veggies with as much respect as we do with meat and things. So people will marinate meat overnight and do all kind of rubs and this, that, and the other with the meat and smoke it and this and all of this to make it taste palatable and then put the veggies over some hot water and serve it. I'm like, of course, if you're going to choose between the two, you're going to want the one that you spent some time in thinking about. I'm like, you can roast asparagus. You can marinate these veggies with good tasting marinades and rubs and things like that and make it a lot more interesting. You can do, you know, really good stir fries with hoisin sauce and, you know, and lots of fresh veggies in it that actually taste good and add some, you know, cashews and things like that to it. So it's really how you prepare it makes a big difference and not just thinking, you know, a bowl of steamed veggies is what you're going to be eating if you go plant-based, because we eat a lot more than that. We want to get the veggies in, but in a lot more creative ways. And then the way that you slice them up makes a difference. Like, I don't like big chunks of zucchini. I don't like steamed zucchini, but I will eat spiralized zucchini with a sauce on it because it tastes different when it's spiralized. So I don't like carrots in big chunks, but I will eat them shredded because it tastes different. So the texture of the food matters too. So you got to find what works, you know, for you. So I'd invest in a good food processor. It doesn't even have to be expensive. So you can do some different and interesting things with the veggies and really make it taste good. Marinades and sauces, things like that really help pump up the flavor.
Absolutely. I know Red in Nevada can relate to that. Nobody wants unseasoned, flavorless vegetables. Like, that is a big thumbs down in this vegan household as well. Before we let Dr. Lathan go, if folks had a final question they wanted to get in, did I hear you correctly? I was doing my research to prepare that there is a relationship between not drinking enough water and back pain.
There is. There's a relationship with not drinking enough water and a number of illnesses, but one of which is back pain. And there's I can't remember the book. There's a whole book on it, on water and back pain that I read. And it talks about basically, you know, the The cushion between our vertebrae is filled with water, among other things. There's other things in there. So the less water you have, so the body is really smart. So it conserves. It takes water from where it can to keep you going, to do the vital functions like keeping your heart beating and your brain working that all need water. You know, everything we do in our body needs water. So it prioritizes. So it's going to steal the water from where it can that's not a vital function. So it might cause you some pain, but it's going to keep you moving. So when we're not drinking enough water, we're dehydrated, those cushions become smaller and flatter, causing the vertebrae to touch and the nerve endings to touch. Whereas when you drink constantly enough water, they're going to be fluffy and full and have more flexibility, and they're not, those nerve endings are not going to touch in the back and cause pain. So a lot of chronic back pain is due to simply being chronically dehydrated. And people have been able to avoid back surgeries and all kinds of spinal fusions and ridiculousness with just drinking enough water on a regular basis. It also has significant impact on dementia and arthritis and all those other things that we were talking about as well. So including Alzheimer's too. I mean, Alzheimer's has other factors. Basically, it's like, you know, they say it's like diabetes for the brain. So, you know, going plant-based helps that as well. But water, it's 70% of our body is made up of water. So when we don't get enough, we are disrupting a lot of functions, including, you know, constipation and irritability, and depression is another thing that's caused by lack of water. So there are a lot of things that, you know, we could just get rid of if we just drank more water.
Everyone could drink a little bit more water. Always try to give myself and others that reminder. Caller 3098, 3098, did you have a question for Dr. Lathan? Last four digits, 3098, did you have a question?
Yes. Good evening, can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
And get to the guests, to the callers and guests, hope everybody's having a good evening. Briefly, what is the guest view on quinoa and these other grains that have become very trendy? Curious about what her view is, if it hasn't been covered already. Thank you.
Sure. Quinoa is excellent. I mean, it's pretty popular. You know, it's definitely trendy, but it happens to be a good trend. It is a gluten-free grain. It's actually a seed. And it is a complete protein, meaning that it has all the essential amino acids. So it's comparable to, quote, meat in that regard for people who are, like, worried about where am I going to get my protein? We make a lot of our own amino acids already, but there are, like, 9 essential ones that we have to eat. And the quinoa has all of those. So it is definitely a good grain. It usually doesn't cause any irritation to most people. So you have to season it up. I mean, I know I'm probably one of the few vegans that don't really like quinoa that much, except when I make it in my own recipes. So I think it's a great grain. It's low fat. It's something you can, you know, it's gluten free. So it checks all the good boxes. So it's actually a really good trend. So I would definitely recommend a good recipe and flavoring up your quinoa.
Right on. Much obliged, mm-hmm. sir. Red in Nevada, did you have another question, or are you satisfied, ma'am?
No, I'm satisfied. Thank you.
Right on. I will assume that we
can be heard.
Oh, yes, sir. We got you.
Just one last question. Again, thank you for your time. What advice can you give to people? When you spoke earlier, you spoke about going through the system, the educational system, and having issues, of course, and conflict, of course, in getting your doctrine. What advice can you give to people who are trying to reach and aspire and going to that level? Thank you.
Going to that level of education?
Yes, indeed.
So what I think is what's really important in, when you're going to higher education and when you're going to a non-HBCU is to have support, to find support and use it. Because I had to go to the dean when they were trying to hold up my graduation and things like that. And I needed backing and support to do that, to buck the system to make this happen. So they didn't let me out easy. But I was like, you know, I'm getting through this. And I think part of it came from my foundation as my undergrad of being confident in my abilities and that I had a fortification. Because what I found was that students who didn't go to an HBCU and went to like a white undergrad, by the time they got to the master's, they didn't have the gumption to go further because they were like worn out. Whereas they're like, I can't even do the PhD because they had to fight for the undergrad. They had to fight for the master's. So the folks who actually went through the PhD program had generally, all of us had gone to an undergrad HBCU. So we had the fight in us. We were like, look, we know where right. this is coming from. So the support was really important. So definitely I had a great study group. That's important because there's a whole nother thing that's happening in study groups and information that's being passed on this little underground network that gives you the ins and outs. So you got to get connected with the study group. You got to get connected with your Black student unions, and you got to get connected with some of the Black professors who can guide you and be your advocate when it's needed. That's really the key to getting through, to being ready to face it. Right? Expecting good outcomes, but being ready for it. You know, I'm like, don't go looking for it, but be ready when it happens and be ready to stand up for yourself. And sometimes, you know, you do have to do more work, unfortunately. But like I said, for me, you know, the hazing that I call it, that I got in the program just made me better. So I said, so what you were trying to abuse actually turned out for my good. So thank you. And then you got to find some good stress relief. I did a lot of kickboxing. When I was going through the program, because I had to let that anger out, the frustration out, and kickboxing, it works. Yeah, I was picturing faces that were getting kicked from here to, you know, everywhere. So it helped me relieve the stress, and having a good network of friends, finding if it's just two or three, you got to have somebody, one or two, that is your like buddy in this process.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Greatly appreciated.
Wow.
You're welcome.
I'm absolutely stunned. She is talking about visualizing kicking former Governor George Wallace and college instructors. Like, wowee. I didn't believe we invited such a person on the program. She sounds like a regular, what do they call it? Black identity extremist. That's what it is. Before I let you go, just because we did mention protein, and they even said in What the Health that as opposed to all of the focus on protein, it should be about fiber. You did mention the importance of gut health, which I think is related to fiber. Just can you share a bit with that with our audience before you depart?
Absolutely. So gut health is made up of a number of things. So it's like, other part of reducing that transit time is having a good gut flora. And so that means having good probiotics and prebiotics in your gut. And that generally comes from lots of plant foods. So prebiotics are in certain things like asparagus and certain whole grains and like oatmeal that help your body create their own probiotics to keep the balance right in your gut. So once you are, you know, eating a healthy diet, you're able to, you know, produce your own probiotics. But if there's an imbalance, you can take probiotics to help. And that sometimes helps people eliminate a lot quicker when there's a balance. When there's an imbalance, it can cause a slowdown there too. So that's really important. That's a big part of the gut health is the probiotics. That you need. And so if you're eating apples, you're eating asparagus, you're eating things like oatmeal and fiber, your body's going to create the prebiotics, which feeds the probiotics, which keeps things in balance. So, but if you've had a really bad diet, of course, a bottle or two of some good probiotics is probably recommended till you're really used to eating the good stuff and letting your body, generate its own probiotics.
Spend more time worrying about your fiber. I think that's pretty solid.
Absolutely.
Get that fiber.
Yep.
The website again.
Beth, Matt?
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry. I did think of a question. I'm so sorry.
See you there.
If I could exit really quick.
Let's hear it.
Sure.
Just a quick question. I know, like I had mentioned basically earlier about just the stresses of having to deal with buying foods at these healthier stores. Do you feel or maybe surmise that the stress that Black people experience, not just from racism, from like going into stores or just everyday life racism, could it possibly counteract the benefits that Black vegans, you know, are achieving through their diet? Now, I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Sure. I mean, that's a good question. I don't think it's going to, the racism and stress undoes the benefit of a plant-based diet. I think what the plant-based diet does is it helps ward off diseases that would happen if you were experiencing the same stress in eating a meat-based or standard American diet. Then you'd be even more susceptible to the diseases that are caused by chronic stress. So I don't think it doesn't help, but it doesn't undo it. It actually, the diet is going to help you cope with it better. But, you know, we still have to find ways to deal with that stress and to release it, because it will wreak havoc on your health, even with a plant-based diet. If you are still dealing with chronic stress, it'll ward it off and hold it off longer, but it will still take an effect. So we have to, find a way, you know, healthy ways to dissipate it and find happiness and joy in our lives and not let, you know, them steal our joy through their racism.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Website again, rubylathan.com. Recipes, blog information, resources. You can contact her if you need coaching, a little assistance in your journey transitioning to eating healthy, replenishing, life-giving foods. RubyLathan.com, linked at Black Talk Radio Network. Thank you so much for sharing some of your time and insight. Really was a treat to see you in the documentary and then to speak to you and get more information in person. Thank you so much for sharing some of your time this Tuesday evening. I would love to have you back on the program in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
For sure. Take excellent care. Keep up your outstanding work, Dr. Lathan. We'll speak with you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. Good evening. Context of white supremacy. Do not think we would have had this program, much like with Satya X last year. I don't think we would have had this program if I was not doing yoga, vegan, much like the retreat. Don't think that would be happening either if, you know, I was not practicing yoga and being vegan. Very important. And I think that's a huge aspect of countering racism. Dr. Kanban has said it in just that way before. We had Tracy Lynn McWhorter on the program. We had Dr. Layla Africa on the program, and both of them, Black people who spend a sizable amount of their life currency talking about the importance of diet, both in practice and in trying to share this information with other Black people. So hugely, hugely important. And also, one bit of information, I guess, with the diet, what you eat for parents, particularly, we talk about that all the time, you know, conversation before conception, those habits and patterns in terms of eating. Wow. I mean, I think they have that book, The Power of Habit. That was a book that was suggested for the book club, and just talking about sometimes the routines that we get in can just have extraordinary power controlling our behavior or thoughts, feelings, sometimes all of the above. Food, she talked about that. She said a lot of times we have these memories and associations with food. You know, we eat this food to celebrate, or this is the food that we had for birthday parties or for Christmas. How many of us, the memories of all that nonsense for Christmas or Thanksgiving or birthday parties or whatever the excuse, it got a holiday coming up this week, I think it is, horror days, the Super Bowl, any reason to consume this nonsense, but those end up setting down those memories and associations that you want to recreate. Very important to think about that for parents, Black parents, to make sure that you are laying down a healthy, nourishing foundation for your child with food. That did not happen with me. I told frozen Brussels sprouts. I mean, it could have been worse, you know, victim of racism, my parents, victims. Just saying that it would be very, very beyond constructive. I mean, wow. Getting a healthy relationship with nutrition so that you can avoid the medical apartheid aspect and make sure that that's not forgotten either. Dr. Lathan, she came to this with thyroid cancer. This was not a, you know, just, oh, you know, I'm tired of eating Popeye's chicken one day. I'll just decide. This was, oh my goodness, my life is in jeopardy. I might have to have, you know, major surgery or something here. Let me, you know, try to figure out any alternative. They say vegan works. Let's give that a try. That's how she came to this information. As parents, attempted parents, under very difficult conditions, it would be phenomenal to start our children out. We don't have sodas in the house, all that white sugar, high fructose corn syrup, Cheetos, all that nonsense. That would be another reason why I was so offended. Formerly, the worst book I ever read, The Hate U Give. All of the glorification of Cheetos, like, oh, just marvelous, and bad food, period. It wasn't just Cheetos. They were eating Cheetos and pizza and nonsense. I'm surprised they didn't have the KFC Cheetos sandwich in that god-awful book. But establishing a healthy relationship for Black children with food so that they understand the importance of eating in a really healthy manner from the beginning. That is enormous. I think a lot of I didn't just have an understanding of that. And even some of the research that I've seen more recently saying that that relationship begins at conception, that the food that the mother is eating is going right to the, I mean, that's what the umbilical cord is there for. Food is going right to the child. So if you're eating Cheetos and McDonald's and nonsense, that's what's going to the child. That right there is laying that foundation for their appetite and foods that they like. They're saying that there's research that is, you know, suggesting that. So food is creating. I was 270, 275 last year. So, I mean, I certainly am not fat shaming or anything of the sort. Food is really important. And if anything, I'd be the first one. Exhibit A. Man, there are consequences when you are not paying attention, showing total disregard, lack of Black self-respect with regards to eating, exercise. That is central, should be a central aspect of counter-racism. When you feel better, you can do more, you'll have more energy to do more things. All of that, very important. I think Dr. Welsing would certainly, Dr. Welsing, she, a disgrace that she is not here with us. That said, the time that she was here, she did not seem like someone who would have been in line for frickin' chicken Cheetos sandwich. She seemed like someone who tried to take good care of herself and be mindful about what she ate. A physician, I think she would definitely. I know Mr. Fuller has talked about that. That's in one of the four things he recommends: correct sleep, correct eating, with the understanding that racists make it very difficult. I guess I'll see if listeners, folks that chimed in, have any comments they'd like to share. I guess I would appreciate it if folks would be willing to share what they ate today. That would be appreciated. Just, you know, Dr. Lathan, she shared. I'm willing to share. If we're willing to share what we ate, I think that would be, you know, right on. But the diet aspect is really, really important. Hopefully some of that will come through with the Cows Retreat next week, plant-based diet. We get to do some exercising and get to do some plant-based quality meals down in VA. It can have a huge impact, and particularly again for children, can have a huge impact being able to start from the very beginning where you're not having to deal with all that childhood obesity and diabetes and all that other nonsense from a young age, where you can start out healthy and having a quality relationship to healthy, nutritious foods from the beginning. Now, all of that said, I know racists can make it very difficult. I'm here in Seattle, where it's not a lot of black people, and they have tons of vegan options. They have a vegan grocery store. What that means is at this store, every single item in the store, no animal products. You can just pick up anything if you're a vegan, such as myself. You can just grab anything. And they have clothing, too, and you're good to go. Now, again, not everything just because it's vegan means that it's healthy, but they do seem to be, you know, closer to the healthier spectrum of food items. I certainly understand that not everyone lives in these types of areas, especially if you live in areas with a lot of black people, because that tends not to be the case. Even though she said in D.C., the black people there spearheaded, were the leaders in the vegan food establishment, and talked about a lot of black-owned restaurants, entrepreneurs in the D.C. area, so right on. But I would say if you're in an area that doesn't have as many options, I think you can still be creative. You can still be vegan and you can still be creative. You might not have the same type of variety and exotic, like I said, bakeries that are on every corner and exotic ice cream and that sort of thing. But you can still get produce in most areas. I think they still have produce. They would still have things that you could access: rice, beans, nuts. That's most of the stuff that I eat on a daily basis anyway. And I was already thinking if I was someplace where I didn't have quite the same access to produce and what have you that I do here, or just veggie products in general that I do here in the Seattle area, what would I do? What would I be eating? That sort of thing. It can still be done. It's just a matter of, for a lot of times, just planning. If you generally eat out or eat fast food, that sort of thing, junk food, pre-prepared meals, planning, investing a little bit more time to plan out your meals and or to cook and prepare your meals, because I think that's a big part of it too. People not wanting to invest a lot of time in cooking, people not having a lot of time to invest in cooking. That said, if folks have any, or we should all, everybody who dialed in and shared, what did you eat today? Let's see, I'll go first. So I had had a smoothie this morning with flaxseed milk, a half an avocado, a half a mango, a half a pear, a half an apple, a half an orange with the peel, one kumquat, I think it's a hybrid kumquat, one whole banana, about 2 ounces of kale, about 2 ounces of carrots, about 2 ounces of blueberries, and some acai puree, and one kiwi. That was my smoothie. For after yoga, I had 2 slices of no cheese vegan pizza with roasted tomatoes, mushrooms, artichokes, garlic, I think, onion. Might have been one more vegetable. I think there was some more. Anyway, 2 slices of veggie pizza, no cheese. I had, they are like fake chicken nuggets. You can get them at the store. They're processed, as she said, but I like them. They're tasty little treats. They're quick and easy to eat. And then I had pretzels right before we went on air. That's... Do I have anything else? I think that's it. I had water, drank lots of water. And I think I got a glass of lemonade somewhere in the day, it seems. Glass of lemonade, and I had water. I generally don't drink anything. Lemonade and water. Those are generally my only beverages, mostly water. Folks that dialed in, if you have commentary, but everybody should be sharing, what did you eat today? And then if you have commentary on what you heard from Dr. Layton.
I'll go next if it's okay.
Yes, red in Nevada.
Next time I'll be more conscious of what I ate. But I did have a smoothie too, with kale and banana and orange. I don't like to use like milk or anything like that. I like to use fruit juices, but all I had, I just went ahead and used water, walnuts and pineapple, mango, and sizzling like a little bit of the fruit. Mainly it was just mainly banana and kale. And I think it was blackberries. Had that, and then I made a soup. It was like a vegetable soup, and the base was with coconut cream. So it was a coconut cream and water-based vegetable soup with like potatoes and carrots and corn and green beans. Also put, I think, pinto beans in it too. I did have some lardoons, which is one of those processed foods that you shouldn't have, but it's not, it doesn't technically have any dairy or animal products in it, but my stomach is still already a little bit upset, so I understand why I shouldn't have had it. And I had some chow mein, and since I still eat like seafood, I had some shrimp. But I definitely appreciate all the information that Dr. Lathan shared. She definitely seems very personable, and it wasn't, she didn't, you know, present the information in a way that was really condescending, which is definitely going to help me with my approach to helping people consider more vegan-based or more like whole food options. And I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Much obliged. I have had my share of Laura Dunes, probably my share and a few other people's shares as well. And for clarification, pretzels are certainly processed and not the best. This is a habit that I do have with food, being mindful. These pretzels are not like pretzels, like that you just pick up at any old store. So the ingredients on these pretzels, organic rye flour, just because it's organic doesn't. Organic rye flour, organic wheat flour, organic brown rice syrup, salt, organic sunflower oil, organic barley malt, yeast, and soda. If I can run through the ingredients and I can pronounce everything and I know what that is, and it's no dairy and all the rest of it, okay, I can deal with a small amount of, certainly pretzels should not be the staple of the diet, limited quality, but I mean, yeah, these are not quite like the, you know, typical junk food pretzels. Fruit veggies would be best. Other folks who dialed in, what did you eat today? Did you have any comments on what we heard from Dr. Layton?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir. I'm on DC.
Yes, sir. So I had a bunch of cashews. I think I finished a bag of cashews. I probably shouldn't have ate the whole bag. But and then I had some mafé, which is a Senegalese dish. And it's not healthy, though. It's rice and lamb and peanut butter sauce. It tastes good, but it's very acidic. But I'd prefer not to eat meat at all, but they add the meat anyway, even if I ask them not to. But it's all good. But I usually eat a lot more healthy than that. Oh, and I had a whole bunch of water. I drink a lot of water. But I usually eat a lot more healthy if I can, especially if mom decides she wants to, you know, make some soup and share it with everybody. So mom does a, she usually cooks a lot of, vegetable soups, and it tastes good. A lot of Brussels sprouts, that does make the vegetable soups, taste pretty good. And like, what is that? Broccoli makes the soups taste really good. And I don't like tomato based soups. I think that's acidic. and those preserved foods, I think that they're, you know, obviously they're already rotted. They're already dead. So, whenever I do smoothies, I didn't have a smoothie, but when I do smoothies, I like to do water, of course, a lot of water, blackberries, blueberries, kale, cinnamon. I add honey. There's a few other things that I put in it. I'm trying to remember, but those I will usually have that as a base. Oh, ginger. Ginger. That's what I wanted to say. I love ginger. It's it helps my father whenever he has his he's had a few strokes, and a lot of times he'll eat unhealthy, and you know the strokes will make it to where he can't move. Now I'll make these, you know, make those shakes that my mom introduced me to. And anyway, I make the shakes and he'll be up and moving in a few days. You know, but his health is kind of deteriorating a little more right now, but eating healthy will solve that problem. So yeah, thanks.
Save the bees. Much obliged, Imhan DC, for sharing. I forgot I had ginger in my smoothie as well. I'm a huge ginger fan, fresh ginger. It's amazing. It's so good. I believe fresh ginger is also an anti-inflammatory. Have to double check on that. I am not a nutritionist, but I think that is the case. But yeah, love. I have fresh ginger and fresh turmeric root as well in my smoothies. I had that today. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in, if you had a hand up, or if you dialed in, period, if you had commentary on Dr. Lathan, what did you eat today? And then your commentary.
Have you heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, what I had today was I'm still trying to transition, so it's going to be a mixed bag for breakfast. I had some egg whites with spinach, mushroom, avocado, and peppers in a wrap, along with one of the, company produced one of the probiotic drinks. It's a commercially produced probiotic drink. For lunch, I had a quinoa salad that I ate with black beans, chickpeas, red onions, spinach, a little bit of cilantro, and lemon juice, and a tea that I made with go-to cola herb, ginger, a little bit of honey, peppermint, and moringa powder, and that was it for the day. Could you give me Dr. Lathan's name, spelling of her name, so I can look up her website, please?
Ruby, Ruby Lathan, LATHON.com.
All right, thank you. I'll meet my
wife. Yes, sir. Right on. Again, the retreat next week, hopefully we should have at least one broadcast live from the retreat, so people will get an opportunity to talk about, you know, eating plant-based. I don't know if all the folks that are coming are already plant-based or, you know, are willing to try or what have you, but that hopefully will be something that we can share. I think... you don't have to do any same thing with counter racism. You know, Mr. Fuller doesn't have to go out and do a whole lot of shouting and what have you. Dr. Lathan, just say, hey, I recovered my health. I didn't have to go and see Coon Man Northam's colleagues, racists in medical gear, to cut me open and hope for the best. I didn't have to go through that. I just changed what I ate for consistently for a year and got my health back. No need to brag. You can. That's all the bragging that needs to be done. Just give the truth on that. And that to the same degree. It wasn't like, well, I mean, hey, losing 90 pounds in a year. I'd say that's not a whole lot. Yoga, Brussels sprouts. That is it. Not a whole lot else. Yoga, Brussels sprouts. I think healthy eating. And I would go back to what that white man said at the yoga studio on last week. You make me sick. I mean, that really, it resonated with me. That is the system of racism, white supremacy. The reason that I started with the KFC Cheeto sandwich, they don't have KFC Cheeto sandwiches here in Seattle. You can't get that here. You can't get that in Portland. You can think of all the cities that, you know, mostly white people, Austin, Texas, San Francisco, all the places that have been gentrified where whites are taking over. You can't get a KFC Cheetos chicken sandwich. They got that in parts of Georgia. And as I said, Virginia, where we're going for the cows 10-year anniversary retreat, that's where you can get the KFC Cheetos chicken sandwich. Conveniently in locations where they have lots more Negras. That right there says a lot to me. You want to poison Black people, which is always the case. That's the way that I think we should think about food and taking that into account. And with Dr. Lathan, that you can put those two together, medical apartheid and all the information that Dr. Lathan and others that who've talked about the same thing. As I said, Dr. Layla Africa and Tracy Lynn McWhorter, quite a few other folks, Dr. Mills, trying to see if we can get him on the program as well. Quite a few other Black people who, you know, are very aware of the damage that is being done, has been done with health and diet. And you can even relate centuries of this, all of that information in Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl about depriving Black people of food and starving them or forcing them to eat a whole lot of food, stuffing them to death. I mean, all of this manipulation and torture around food that they have been doing for centuries. It seems. So just keeping that in mind, that us making an effort to be healthful, taking care of ourselves physically, spiritually, mentally, doing what we should be doing as attempted counter-racists, males and females, that makes white people sick. I will take them at their word. Maybe they'll get sick and die as a result of us just trying to be healthy and take care of ourselves. Anyway, are folks satisfied? Any other commentary that they wanted to make sure that they got in? Great information, Dr. Lathan. I thought her address again, rubylathan.com, rubylathan.com. And if you've not seen the documentary, What the Health, I would encourage checking it out. It is done by a suspected racist. There are other Black people in the film, Dr. Lathan being one, Dr. Mills is another. They have other Black people, it's a number of Black people, and racism does come up in the film a lot. I know for some people, they might not want to see a film that is focused on a white man and him talking about his, you know, how he came to be vegan and why he made this decision. I can understand that, but there is quality information in the film, I think. And you can see Dr. Lathan and, you know, hear more about why she made this transition. Hear other Black people talking about this as well. And the racism in the food industry. That's, you know, that would be any industry that we're talking about, but we're talking about food specifically, does have constructive information, methinks, even though it's quite a few white people in it. That is one question I wish I had asked. Now that I think about it, I would like to know how she is received, treated in the white-dominated vegan space. I think that was pretty close to Red in Nevada's question, but like at the conferences and different, you know, gatherings. They have those type of things here in Seattle on a regular, but this is a veggie mecca. I think the whole West Coast is, but they tend to be very white dominated, at least the ones that I've seen. I'd be curious to see, you know, or to know how she is received in those circles. But anywho, any other folks have question, comment they wanted to make sure they get in? Drink more water. I can't believe I didn't ask her what book that was about water and back pain. That's one I would definitely like to read. So many people have back pain. That's something that they talk about in yoga on a regular basis, the times when they ask people, you know, do you have any aches or pains, any areas that you want to work on? And back pain is very, very common in terms of people that being a sore spot for people. I'd never heard that in terms of dehydration being related to back pain in some way. So drink more water. All of us could be drinking more water, especially if water is not your main beverage of choice. If you drink sodas or fruit drinks or, you know, whatever else it is, non-water liquids, drink more water. I think all of us could drink more water. And again, racism, white supremacy contaminates everything. Now, think about that suggestion for the folks in Flint or many other locations. Not like Flint is the only place where white people have poisoned the water where the Negros live. I think they're having the same discussion in Newark, New Jersey. Anyway. With that, we will be here Thursday, Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Friday, it will be 1 hour earlier. We'll be here for Workplace Racism at 4 p.m. Aforementioned, Dr. Lathan was talking about that. All that stress in the workplace has a huge impact. It'll be at 4 p.m. Eastern this set, or excuse me, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific. This Friday for Workplace Racism. I have another training to further enhance my skills before we get ready for the yoga retreat next week. And that is Friday evening. So starting a little bit earlier for Workplace Racism on Friday, and then Saturday, the compensatory call-in will be 30 minutes later, 6:30 start time. That way I can sprint back from the teacher training on Saturday. If you have other comments, questions, guest suggestions, commentary on what you heard around the food, feel free untiljustice@gmail.com. Untiljustice@gmail.com. Much obliged to the folks who chimed in, questions, comments. I hope it was worthy of your Tuesday evening. Eat more veggies, even if you're still, you know, trying to get it together or thinking it out in terms of moving away from the meat products. Eat more veggies. It is way, way healthier. You will feel better. Plant-based diet, that is working against racism, white supremacy in so many ways. Can't even go into them. We'll cover some of this at the yoga retreat, but hopefully Dr. Lathan will encourage you to think more about it and, yeah, make changes in the diet, and eliminating the eating out, unless you're going to a Black-owned establishment, as she talked about. If you're not doing that, minimize the eating out, regardless of the, you know, whether it's chicken, meat products, or whatever the case may be, giving suspected race soldiers direct opportunities to fondle whatever food products you're going to have. Do more time preparing your preparing our own food. Really look at food and eating as something sacred. Really, that's the way that we should think about food. I think the system of white supremacy does a phenomenal job of just devaluing food and meals, and that just has a really detrimental impact on our health. So be mindful of what we eat, make great decisions, eat more veggies, eat more veggies, eat more veggies, drink more water, get more fiber. With that, we'll be here on Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white terrorism. Talk about acidity. There you go. In addition to preserving our brain computers so that we can make phenomenal decisions to solve this problem immediately, let's be buckled up every single time we are in a vehicle, passenger, or driver. Let's do all that we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. That's it. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other Black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of Black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another Black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cow signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.